so thankful for his presence in this place. Let's linger here for just a moment as the Lord continually, sovereignly moves in our midst. How many thankful this evening to be in the house of the Lord. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the house. Thank God for his presence in this place. Tangible, manifest presence of a great God who longs and desires to do something in our midst tonight. We're not here by accident. We're not here by chance. We're here under the divine auspices of a great God who desires to move. The question begs, will we let him? Will we say yes to whatever he wants to do? I don't want to disappoint you, but Pastor Ted Pagle Jr. has not come to bring revival. Perry Stone will not bring revival. No man will bring revival. It will be God that will bring revival. But it will only happen when we say yes to him and what he desires to do. Now, I can tell you that sovereignly, God in heaven is looking over the balconies of heaven, desiring to move in a place called The Bend in Cookeville, Tennessee. He desires to pour out his glory over this house. He desires to have revival break out in Cookeville, Tennessee, that will spread through the world. But it's up to us. I'm going to preach my heart out tonight. I'm a fire preacher. And I'm going to give everything that I have and what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. And just through the song selection, through what Pastor said earlier, I firmly believe this is a divine appointment tonight, that God's given me a divine assignment to come together in this house to glorify him. Oh, I'm thankful for his presence, aren't you? That's what we're going after, his presence. I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments. But let me just say what a joy and honor it is. And how humbled we are to be here. I have my lovely wife, Tanya, with me, traveling this week with me, and I'm grateful. We love your pastors. Pastor Shane and Pam are two of the best people in all of the world. Incredible preacher of the gospel. You know that. You get to hear him every week. Come on. He'll preach the house down. Amen. And he's in touch with God. He loves God. And Adam, man, what worship. Oh, my. How awesome. Worship team, absolutely wonderful and beautiful. What a great. If you can't preach after that, something's wrong with you. Amen? Wow. Well, why don't you turn around and shake hands with each other, welcome each other in the house of the Lord, and find Psalm 122. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We want to welcome our online audience. We're glad that you're joining us from wherever you are. We're glad that all of you are here and excited about being in the house of the Lord. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on the benefits of the house of the Lord. How many know there's benefits in coming to the house of the Lord? Now, what you need to understand a little bit about me is I'm a hollerback preacher. If I say something that excites you, you can say amen, you can shout me down, you can do all of that. I do get wound up and I do get fired up because I've never gotten over what God's done for me. He's an amazing God and I'm glad to be one of his children. And I'm glad to be at the Bend tonight and glad to be here to deliver God's word. Psalm 122, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. If you stand in the honor of reading God's word, please. I know that you just got comfortably seated. I know it's custom in this house. It's custom in our house. We pastor a great church in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, so we bring you greetings from the coast of Mississippi. My wife and I planted it 10 years ago. We started with about 25 people and over 1,000 people called Center Point Home. God's done some amazing things in 10 years. We started in a home with 25 people. moved to a civic center where we grew to about 85, and then we left there and moved into a building that had 60,000 square feet. And one of our elders at the time said, "Pastor, I know you're a man of great faith, but I believe you've lost your ever-living mind." I said, "Brother Bert, we don't need this space right now, but we're going to need this." And we just got through, actually, with another big expansion, and so now we have 80,000 square feet. And I'm believing for the Bend Church that God's going to expand. You're going to need more room as God sends people from the north, south, east, and west to fill this place up. Because can I tell you tonight that people are hungry for God? They're not hungry for seeker-sensitive stuff. I know that's what's being taught, and that's what's being pressed out there a lot in the world and a lot of places, but I can tell you, you're in a church where the word of God is going to be preached, and God can do what he wants to. He's out of the box. So there are people coming from all over that are going to come to the Bend because they're hungry for God. They're not interested in just making me feel good. You need a little bark knocked off of you every Sunday. Come on, someone. Toes stepped on a little bit. You got a man of God that can do that. And so we preach the word of God, and we thank God for all that he has done at Centerpoint Church, and we are blessed to pastor some amazing people, and just the things that God has done there is just, I don't have time tonight to tell you all the things, but there have been miracles. We're singing the song about restoring families. God has the power to heal brokenness. When we planted the church, God said, "Ted, this is going to be a place for hurting, broken, wounded people." I had no idea that the number of people that God would entrust to our hands to bring healing in their lives. And we've seen it, man. Marriage is restored. People set free from drug addiction. Come on, somebody. God's in the business of bringing healing into our lives. Let me get into the word of God. Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. I was glad, first verse, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. And I love, he begins with verse 1, with the house of the Lord, and he ends in verse 9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Focus on what David said. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." David was excited about going to the house of the Lord. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, in these next few moments, we need you to show up and show out. We need you to anoint your servant one more time to preach the word of God. Now, Lord, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. I pray that you will give that anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray you will anoint our ears that we might hear what the Spirit says. You might illuminate our mind that we might comprehend the things that you share with us, that we might apply to our lives so that we might be better for you. God, we thank you, as David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I pray there will be a sovereign move of God in this house in these next few moments as we gather together. Help me, Lord, be a mouthpiece for heaven. And all that you do will give you praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I love what Billy Sunday said. If you have no joy in your religion, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. We need joyful people in the house of the Lord. Amen. And David was joyful when he said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I think when he said that, I think he was saying that I'm enthusiastic that the house of God is open. I'm excited that I get to go to a place because there's things that happen inside the house of God that I can't get anywhere else. And I think David was saying, "Man, I love going to the house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I wonder tonight if there are people from the Bend that are excited about being in the house of God. And I think that David understood that there were benefits in coming to the house of God. Can somebody say amen to that? And I'm going to share some of those benefits with you tonight. There are benefits in coming. That's why the enemy works so hard to keep people out of the house of God. That's why this whole COVID mess is from the pit of hell. Come on. It's from the pit of hell. But I want you to know there is a name, his name is Jesus, that is bigger and stronger than COVID-19. And he's able to watch over us and protect us. He's able to work in our lives and move. But David said, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. David understood there were benefits in it to coming to the house of God. David was glad that he got to go inside and experience what the house of God did for him. That's why the Hebrew writer said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but so much more as you see the day approaching. There is something about coming to the house of God that you can't get anywhere else. And so I'm grateful that we get to gather today on this summer heat revival night. We're praying for revival. Again, I'm not bringing revival. I'm here to preach the word, and it's up to you and up to me to respond appropriately to what God does in our lives. But I can tell you this, if you'll say yes to God, there's power in our yes. If we'll say yes to whatever he tells us, whatever he speaks to us tonight, then he will move sovereignly in our lives, and the glory of God will shine down on the bend in Cookeville, Tennessee, that people will see the illumination of the glory of God over this house that will attract people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And if we can shout our praise to him, as Adam was helping us do, I love Adam. Adam's got such a great heart and tenderness. I love that. He's anointed of God, and God's using him in a great way. But he's not up here to just sing songs. We didn't come into this house to sing songs. We come into this house to worship the Lord. Because the Bible says that everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. And so I've come to praise his holy name. God inhabits the praises of his people. He's not some egotistical God up in heaven that's looking down and say, you're going to praise me whether you like it or not. No, there's benefits, and we'll talk about those in a few moments. There's benefits to praising the Lord, but there's the benefits of coming to the house of God. Listen to, and I hope you have your Bibles tonight. You're going to need your Bibles tonight to follow along. 2 Chronicles 38, chapter 30, verse 8 says, do not be stiff-necked as your ancestors were. Submit to the Lord. Come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. Psalm 20, verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. There are benefits in coming. All through Scripture, you find the sanctuary, you find the house of God, because it was important for God's people to gather in his name. When the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go that they might worship me. Because there's something powerful in coming into this place. And I hear a lot of people say that, you know, I can worship the Lord here and I can worship. You can, but there's nothing that you can't get here. Oh, help me, Jesus. There's something special about coming here together. I have a great time in the prayer closet. I have a great time, Lord, in the car, riding down the road, singing songs. But there's something special happens when I come into this place. And I don't know if you sense the presence the way I do. It's powerful in this house tonight. Four things we discover in the house of the God, in the house of the Lord. And number one, the presence of God. Anybody thankful for the presence? Yeah. Pastor Shane mentioned the presence of the omnipresence of the Lord, and the omnipresence of God is everywhere. He's everywhere. I'm not going just for the omnipresence of God. We in the house of God, we as the children of God, are going for a manifest presence of God, a sovereign move of God. We need God to manifest himself in our house. We need him to show up. You don't need more of Ted Pagel Jr. You don't need more of Pastor Shane Warren. What you need is more of God. And so we're asking God in this move, in this moment, to move in our midst, to manifest himself, because something happens in the presence of God that can't happen anywhere else. And I don't care what you say, you can't get what we get here in the house by yourself. There's the omnipresence of God, but we are going for the manifest presence of God. Listen to what David said concerning the omnipresence of God. Psalm 137, verse 9 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to you. So David is saying that basically the psalmist is saying that God's presence is everywhere. But again, we are going for the manifest presence. Psalm 16:11 says it this way: you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There is a manifest presence that happens in our corporate gatherings that I don't get anywhere else. Listen to what Moses said. Moses said in Exodus 33:15, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. Because it's the presence of God. Moses said, listen, I don't care if I go over there, if you're not there. I don't want to come to church just to go to church. I don't want to gather. If God is not here, he's not manifesting himself, he's not showing up, then we're just a social group of people gathering to do something. But we gather knowing that our God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. And we're asking God to manifest himself in our house to do something special. And so we don't have to coerce him. That's what I love. We don't have to beg for him to show up. He's been waiting for us to get here tonight. He's been waiting for the people of the Bend to worship him tonight. That's my people down there. And you're my brothers and sisters. I just happen to worship at another house. But we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're all going after the tangible presence of God. I want him to manifest himself. I love what A.W. Tozer said. Within every human breast rages this desire, driving him forward. Many a person confuses the object of that desire and spends his or her entire life striving for the unobtainable. Very simply put, the great passion in the heart of every human being who are created in the image of God is to experience the awesome majesty of God's presence. The highest accomplishment of humanity is entering the overwhelming presence of God. Nothing else can satiate this burning thirst. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us that God placed there as a gift. And we start drinking from wells of the world because that's where we're trying to find satisfaction. But it doesn't satisfy. Nothing of this world will ever satisfy you. But God placed that as a gift in our life because he's the only one that can satisfy that. And when you go to the living well and you drink from that well, you'll not thirst again. But we go from well to well, and the world says, well, it's not that well anymore. It's this well, and then it's that well, and this well over here. And they just keep going from well to well to well, and you keep coming up empty. I'm talking to some folks tonight that need to quit drinking from the wells of the world and start drinking from the wells of God. God's people don't drink from the things of the world. Come on. We're drinking from the things of God, and God's wanting to do something in us. And if we get revived, revival's not for the people outside these four walls. Although people get saved, and we want people to get saved during revival. Revival is for the church. Revival is for God's people. Revive means to resuscitate, bring back to life. If there was ever a day that America needed the church to rise up and be the church, it's today. We got to make a difference in our world. The only way we can do that is through the power of his Holy Spirit. So there are benefits in coming to the house of God, but there are barriers that keep us from experiencing God at deeper levels. I'm fixing to start preaching now. Are you ready? Barriers that keep us from experiencing God at deeper levels. Number one, here's the biggest problem: disobedience. What happens is we're not obedient to what God tells us to do. Could you imagine what would happen if all of God's people in the house of God decided to say yes to him? And what would happen if we just get honest about it? You know, that's what happened up in Asbury Theological Seminary and college in Wilmore, Kentucky. You know, the students started getting honest with one another. They started confessing stuff to one another. They got to that place where they just said, Lord, I don't want to be disobedient anymore. And when we learn to be obedient, listen, disobedience is sin. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings a curse. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I don't care. I tell our people all the time, like, I wonder what Pastor Ted's at the altar for this week. Who cares? I said a word a few weeks ago, and my staff was laughing and cracking up, and I said, don't we worry too much about what other people think. I could care less what people think. I'm interested in what the Lord wants to do in my life, and I'm interested in getting better every single day. And they said, well, what if so-and-so think, what if they think that? I said, who gives a rat's rear? I don't care. It's none of your business why I'm at the altar. I'm responding to God. If you focused on me, you're not focused on him. I want to pour my heart out to him. I want to do what he wants me to do. I'm interested in going for him. Life is too short. He's coming again soon. Amen. And we need to get ready. We need to be so on fire that we are impacting our world. Problem with the church is church looks too much like the world. Because the world's influencing the church instead of the church influencing the world. We got to be different. We're called to be different. Disobedient. We just got to learn to say yes to him. Whatever that is for you. I don't know what the Lord's going to be saying to you tonight, but I do know this, his word doesn't return void. I know that the Lord's going to speak to every single one of us tonight. And some of you, he's going to step all over your toes. Some of you, he's going to just knock you upside the head. Some of us, listen, I'd love to grab people by the nape of the neck and drag them to the altar. I know some folks tonight that need to be slapped upside the head and drugged on the altar, but that don't do any good. It doesn't work. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them, that works. I tell our people all the time, quit trying to change people. It's not your job. It's the Holy Ghost's job. He does a much better job than us. All we are is a bunch of judgmental people, always finding fault, cleaning up somebody else's backyard. We got a mess in our own. If all of us would just focus on ourselves and get our life straight, then the rest of it would be okay. Disobedience is one of the barriers. Number two, distractions. I don't know if you've looked around the world. There's all kinds of distractions going on in the world. It's the enemy trying to distract us from the things of God. Lots of them, all kinds of things. Just turn on the news, see what's going on. You'll hear all kinds of things that are going on. The enemy's really good at creating distractions in our life to get us out of the focus and keep us from focusing in on God. You got to remove distractions. I don't know what that distraction is for you, but maybe the Lord tonight has put his finger on something in your life that you said, hey, pastor's on it right here. Pastor Ted's hit, you got to get that out of your life. Those distractions will keep us from moving the way God really wants us to move and really experiencing him at the level he wants us to experience him at. So you got to decide, am I going to allow this distraction, whatever it is in my life, to have a foothold in? We're going to talk about strongholds here in just a little bit. Am I going to allow that to be something that's going to keep me from the things of God, or am I going to do something about it? We got to remove distractions out of our life. And you're not going to like this next one, but not only disobedience and distractions, but dishonesty. We got to get honest. We can lie to one another. Lie to our spouse, lie to our friends, but lie to the pastor. But God knows. He knows everything. He sees it all. And until we get honest with it, I can pretend all day like I don't have no problem. I'm not messed up. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Come on. But until I get honest with myself, God can't fix it. It's not like God doesn't know what you're doing or what's going on in your life. It's a matter of he's wanting you to confess. Wasn't that, Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where Adam was? Well, I'm hiding over here behind the tree. What are you doing over there behind the tree? Well, I'm naked. How do you know you're naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? Well, that woman you gave me. She said, well, that serpent did it. That blame game's been going on ever since. But we've got to, if we are going to see a radical move of God, which I believe God wants to send, then we're going to have to get honest. Yes, sir. Honest with ourselves. Honest with each other. The Bible says it this way, confess your faults one to another. Oh, we don't like that. Because you know what the devil lies? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Oh, nobody's ever done that. Oh, nobody's ever, oh, you can't do that. That will just destroy your life. No, it won't. It'll bring healing in your life. I'm not asking you to stand up in front of the church, confess all those things. That's not the place for that. But there is a place where we confess our faults one to another, someone that you entrust, someone that you love, someone that you care about, that you can be honest with and say, man, I'm really struggling. They can pray with you. We need to encourage one another. Quit pretending. Let's just get honest that we're all messed up. Let me make everybody feel better tonight. We're all messed up and jacked up. We all got a level of dysfunction. We all got a crazy uncle in our family somewhere. We all have that we have to deal with. We were born in dysfunction. Come on. And we needed the work of a Savior to change us. And he's still working on us. And we're never going to be perfect until we get home. But we can have a perfect love for him. And a desire. I like to talk a lot about sanctification. Maybe another time I'll come back and preach on sanctification. But sanctification, there's initial and progressive. That means initially at salvation, God changes my life and it begins to work in my life, sanctifying me, separating me, and begins to progressively work on my life until he calls me home. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but he's still working on me. I always say entire sanctification is this. When I got saved, I got all of God. And when I get entirely sanctified, God gets all of me. Called baptism, Holy Ghost, you can call it whatever you want to, but God wants to work in our lives. We believe in a second definite work of grace in our lives. So we're going after, number one, the benefits of coming to the house is the presence of God, the manifest presence that happens here like we just experienced, Adam. Thank you. Wow. In this house that you can't get anywhere. Don't tell me I get that on the boat. You don't get that on the boat. I tell some of our guys at church all the time, listen, if you'll come to church first and go fish, you'll catch a lot more fish. He came back the next week, said, Pastor, I didn't catch a thing. I said, yeah, because you didn't show up in the house. I said, if you go to the house and you put God first, he'll bless you. But we're going for the manifest presence of God. There's a tangible presence in this house because we are expectant. And that's another thing I want to say is this, we got to have an expectant attitude and spirit that says, Lord, I'm expecting you to do something. To move in our midst. And Lord, I'm coming to the house. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for a long time. I've come to the house of God. Each and every time I come to the house of God, I say the same thing over and over. God, change me, Lord. I want to get better. I don't want to be the same. There's something, there's some more rough edges. You got to work off on me. I want you to do that. So one of the benefits is the presence of God. It's getting good. Hold on. The second one is the power of God. Come on, somebody should have been shouting. I thought there'd be three Pentecostals that jump up and down. We ought to be thankful for the power of God. Come on. There's power that moves in here that doesn't move anywhere else like this. If you've been in a real move of God, and I've been in some moves of God where God's really showed up and showed out, and where things happen like, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. And there's so many, oh, I don't want to get on this, but I'm going to do it for just a moment. There are so many people in the secret sense of moving like, oh, it's going to freak people out, and they're not going to come to church anymore. Let me tell you something. If it's a genuine move of God, they'll know too. The unbeliever. It's for everyone. God doesn't move that way to scare people. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit's not weird and wacky. People are. The Spirit moves, and he desires to do that. And even when he's in the house, not everything done in the name of the Lord is of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you that. I've been around. But you got to give some grace to some of those people who are trying to develop their gift and stuff. Come on. But in a genuine move of God, you don't have to worry about those people that are guests, like you're going to run them off. They're going to think you're going to hang from the chandeliers and snakes and all that stuff. No, that's not going to happen. If it's a genuine move of God, and if it's not, your pastor will call it out and call it down. But when the Holy Spirit's moving, I'm telling you, the people who are unbelievers will get saved. It's not scaring them away. It's just saying, God, we're opening up this place because we want you to move. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church and move the way he wants to move. We got to allow the power of God to do that. Now, let me give you some reasons for the power of God in the house. And I love this. He has the power to deal with our sin. Can somebody say amen to that? Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Can anybody exhaust the riches of God's grace? I'm glad he dealt with my sin. And he's still dealing with our sin. Amen? Still working on that. Psalm 103:3, this ought to cause you to jump up and shout, who forgives all your iniquities. Not some, not a few, but all of them. Everything you've ever done, Jesus paid for it on the cross of Calvary. And here's the astounding thing to me, is while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Not when I was cleaned up, but Ted, you get your life together somewhat and come and talk to me. He reached down in the mire, and I was pretty mired up. But he pulled me out of the mire and put my feet on the solid rock to stay. And now I've got reason to shout, reason to praise him, reason to glorify him. I've got a reason to put a pep in my step and dance. Because he's worthy tonight of all my praise. He's forgiven my sin. Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depth of the sea. Into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Aren't you thankful that God chooses to forgive and chooses to forget? Now, I hear a lot of people, I forgive and I forget. No, you can't forget. Come on. Be honest. You still remember that. But God has chosen not to remember some things. So when you bring up what the enemy's always tacking your mind with and remind you of the past, I preached a sermon Sunday and I talked about this. I said, you know, everyone has a chapter 3 in their life. God's writing a book in our life. But I don't live in chapter 3 anymore. There's a chapter 3 that I'm not real proud of. There's some things in my life that I'm not real proud of. But chapter 3, I don't live in chapter 3. I'm in chapter 8 of my life now. I've moved on from there. But if you're not careful, people will place you in chapter 3 and leave you there and won't let you move on. You don't need anyone's permission to move out of chapter 3 into chapter 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. You don't need anyone's permission to move on with your life. But there are people in this world that will try to confine you and trap you in that season of your life. Listen, that was a chapter. He's still writing the book. And all these other things that are happening in my life are just a reminder of how good he is. So you can go back and look at chapter 3 if you want to see how awesome he is. But don't forget about the rest of the book. I'm not going to live in that chapter. Woo! The power to deal with our sin. Number 2, power to destroy the works of your flesh. There's nothing good that dwells in the flesh. Pretty lengthy passage, but I want to read it. Romans 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody get that in your spirit tonight. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it's against him. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. There's power to destroy the flesh. Listen, the flesh is ugly. Pastor Ted has to deal with it. Pastor Shane has to deal with it. You have to deal with it. It comes up, and I have a choice in the matter. When I got saved, my flesh didn't just roll over and say, well, I got to give up now. You know, the Spirit's now taking control, so I'm just going to go over here and leave you alone. No, the flesh is fighting a battle with the Spirit. So when I get saved, I like to look at it like this. I got 51% Spirit, 49% flesh. So I got a big dumbbell I'm pulling around, trying to get that dumbbell to follow me, just pulling it along. But the more I mature, the more I grow, 60-40, 70-30, 80-20. And now what used to just weigh me down all the time, it's still there. It can still rear its ugly head, but it doesn't affect me the way it used to. It doesn't mean the devil's done with me. The Bible says give no place to the devil. I mean, he's an opportunist. He tempted Jesus. I wanted to preach. There was so much I wanted to preach to y'all tonight. I'm going to have to come back. Pastor Shane's going to have to let me come back and preach some more. But I know our flesh is ugly. I mean, if you ever go to Walmart, we all been to Walmart. Crazy people in Walmart. I'm just saying, crazy people. And in my flesh, sometimes when I'm standing in the checkout line and it says 15 items or less, and the person in front of you has got a basket full and you know it's not 15 items, it's like 30, you want to go up there and like, can you not count? You're in the wrong line. You need to find a new place. That's the flesh. But no, the Spirit says, son, you can't do that. And I have to submit to the Spirit. It's my choice. It's my desire. But I'm going to tell you, my flesh, my first response is my flesh. Like, you're in the wrong line. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to help them count. Because it's obvious you can't count. You're in the wrong line. You need to get in the other line. You're holding up this line. There's this crazy thing. Somebody cut you off on the road. The flesh is going to rear up. The flesh wants to say things, do things. Not nice. But then the Spirit takes over. And you just cut. They finally move over and it's like, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Our flesh is ugly. And the only way that we can be what God wants us to be is to allow the Spirit of the living God to get a hold of us and transform us and change us, empower us to be able to live the life that God's called us to, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? My iPad just went crazy. I rebuke you, devil. Third thing it has the power to do is to demolish strongholds. Somebody say strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. Listen, for though we walk in the flesh, we're talking about the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The power that operates in this place tonight is the power to destroy strongholds. Yes, strongholds are things that the enemy sets up in the mind of man to get you convinced, and you get this repetitive thought over and over and over again. He keeps telling you, and he exalts this thought above God. Think about it for just a moment. And what we have to do is get rid of this, change this thought process, and we gotta pave a new way, a new system that has different thoughts. And the only way to do that is through the Word of God. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. The Word of God wants to pull down strongholds in our life, everything that exalts itself against God, every thought that we take captive. You are the summation of what you think. As a man thinks, so is he. So listen, as those strongholds begin to build in our life, the only thing that's going to tear them down is the power of God working in our life to say, no way, devil, you're not going to plant that in my mind anymore. You can stop. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest. I can't stop the enemy from throwing those things, but I don't have to dwell on them. There are some things that he plants there that I don't need to focus on. Woo! Three weapons against strongholds. The Holy Ghost. Come on. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What the church needs tonight is the power of the Holy Ghost moving in our midst to change the lives of people, tear down strongholds, to destroy the works of the flesh, and allow us to move in the power of God's Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that changes everything. If the Holy Ghost isn't here, take me out of here. I don't want to go to church just to go to church. I don't want to go through the motions. But you need the Holy Ghost to work. The second thing against a weapon against strongholds is the Word of God. Matthew 22:29 in the New Living Translation. I love this. Listen carefully. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures. Come on, somebody. We need to know the Word of God. Your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know the power of God. two things that we desperately need is the power of God and the Word of God. I'm thankful that the Bend has a preacher that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will preach the Word of God. You ought to be thankful, and you ought to give thanks to the man of God that stands up every week and preaches the Word of God. And he preaches it because he loves you. And he cares about you. He wants to make a difference in your life. And there's too many churches today where they're taking down the cross because they say it's offensive. It's meant to be. Come on. Well, you can't preach that stuff. You can't preach about hell. Well, Jesus did. Here's the truth of the matter. We don't like to talk about it, but you're either going to heaven or hell. There ain't no neutral place. And I lost people who don't repent go to hell. And let me tell you something. It's not okay for you to let your family go to hell, and it's not okay for you to let your friends go to hell. And we need to do something about it, but it's not going to happen without the power of the Holy Ghost and His Word. We don't need some pansy standing up here preaching some unadulterated word. Come on. We need a man of God that has some backbone and some spine that will preach the Word of God. See, I'm not afraid of man, but I am in fear of the Lord. I'm not going to stand before Him one day and say, son, you didn't tell him. I tell our people all the time, if you go to hell, you're going to have to jump over all kinds of roadblocks because I'm going to lay it out there. And you're not going to have any excuse. Well, Pastor Ted didn't tell me. Oh, yes, he did. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to preach the truth, just like your pastor is going to preach the truth, because it's the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that's going to change lives. And a real move of God happens in Cookeville. It won't be because of man. It'll be because of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God that's preached, not afraid of what other people. Oh, those places pack out people. They're standing room only. But I'm going to tell you, God's looking for a people that will not be afraid of the move of God. God's so tired of being stuck in a box. There's so many places He'd love to just break out, but people won't let Him. People won't let Him. We got to say, God, whatever you want. It's not my agenda, it's your agenda. Three weapons against strongholds: the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and then thirdly, oh, I love this one. Be ready to shout the worship of God. Adam will shout at that one. The worship of God. Something about worship that changes everything. It changes everything in our life. There's some worship sets the atmosphere for what happens. Worship is simply ascribing worth to the one that you deem worthy. So you might give yourself away depending on the amount of praise you give Him. So if I really love Him, I'm giving Him everything. I give Him everything I've got every week. Until that takes my dying breath, I'm going to praise the Lord. There's power in praise. I'm going to exalt His name. I'm going to lift His name on high. I'm going to do everything I can to worship and ascribe worth because He's worthy. And some of us just need to go back for a moment to where He took us from. And you'll learn to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done for you. It also has the power to defeat the enemy in our life. Anybody ready to defeat the enemy? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on. We're going after His presence. We're going after His power. Those are two things. Benefits coming to the house of God is you get to experience the manifest presence of God, and then you see the power of God work. I wasn't here, but I heard last week God's power was moving. But you know what? That's not anything unusual that I hear from the Bend. God's moving on Sunday mornings and on your Wednesday nights when God gathers here. You gather and so the power of God is moving, because I know you have a pastor and a family that love God, that's going after God. They're giving everything they got. They didn't come from Louisiana here just to come back here. God didn't send them here just because it seemed like a good place to go back home. They're here because they're on assignment from God. It was a good idea to plant a church. Yeah, it's a great idea. He didn't plant a church just to plant a church. I can show you. I know Shane Warren well enough and Miss Pam Warren well enough. They did it because God said do it, or there wouldn't be the bend. He'd be doing something else. He'd be selling insurance. He's going to do only what God asked him to do. And so this is incredible. And this is the wonderful thing about it. You're on the early stages of what God's doing in this city, in this church. Before long, this building will be gone. You'll be in a new building. The walls will be expanded. You'll have plenty of places to see people because you're going to need them, because they're coming from the north, south, east, and west. They're going to fill this place. And not just because of Pastor Shane and Pastor Pam, but because you got a heart to evangelize. You got a heart to witness. You got to be the people of God. It's not Pastor Shane's job to build the church. It's everybody working together. He's responsible for equipping the people of God. But I know him well enough, he's going to be out there beating the hedges and highways and compelling them to come so that God's house might be full. But we all got to do that. We got to work together for the glory of God. The third benefit of coming to the house of the Lord. Y'all still all right? Can I keep on preaching? The praise of God. Woo! Let everything, Psalm 156, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why don't you just try that a little bit? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Come on. Yeah. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're worthy. Woo. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. If you have breath tonight in your lungs, and you are because you're still breathing, then you should be praising the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. Deuteronomy 10:21. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. I wonder if there's anyone at the bend tonight that's seen God do some wonderful things in your life that you saw with your own eyes. Did you see the glory of God move in a powerful way that you're willing to glorify and praise his name? Hebrews 12, 28, and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, oh God, help us, that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, four things praise will do in your life. You ready? Number one, praise exalts the Savior. Anybody want to exalt the Lord tonight? Psalm 145, 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Revelation 4, 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Our responsibility tonight, men and women of God, is to praise the Lord, to exalt his name, to lift him up, because when we lift him up, he'll draw all men unto himself. So we have come to exalt the Lord. When you praise the Lord, it lifts him up. He's not some egotistical God up in heaven looking down at us tonight and say, well, you're going to praise me whether you like it or not. He's looking down on us, asking them to praise. How many know there's benefits in the praise? He never asked you to do anything out of selfishness. He asked us to do that for our benefit. So when we praise the Lord, there's benefits in it. Yes, we're exalting his name, but when we do, something happens in us. Second thing, praise exhausts the enemy. I wonder how exhausted the enemy is based on your praise. The Ben, I heard you tonight. I think he's pretty exhausted. Y'all been praising the Lord. Y'all been exalting his name. Your praise is a weapon. Come on. 2 Chronicles 20:22. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. It's a weapon. And I want the enemy to be exhausted. You know, he doesn't like it that he lost his place in heaven as the worship leader. And so I want my praise, I want to make him mad. He does not like the sound of praise. That's why the Bible says if you'll just begin to praise the Lord, he's got to flee. Because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like being, I want him to be so exhausted and wore out because of my praise. I was riding down the road one day, and my wife and I was singing. Oh, Adam, I was having a holy moment. Oh, I was having a hold of my, I was singing my heart out. Not, listen, I'm not a singer. I'll admit to you, but I'm the best congregational singer you'll get. Would my wife just say amen? Probably. Right down the road, having a holy moment, man, tears just streaming down my face, and I'm singing away, and then all of a sudden, Tanya pauses for a moment, interrupts, and says, hey, babe. I said, yeah, yeah. You mind keeping that in your heart? I mean, that push, gone. That holy moment was over. I'm like, Lord, going to get you for that. Going to get you for that. But praise exhausts the enemy. I want him to be exhausted from our praise. Number three, praise eliminates the spirit of heaviness. Come on, somebody. To console, Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Every time I feel a heaviness, all I've got to do is begin to praise the Lord, and that spirit lifts off of me. That depression that comes on your life, you just need to begin to lift up your voices to the Lord. Now, I know I'm not trying to make light of depression, because I think there are some depressions that are chemically induced, and I think there's sometimes medication. We're not against medication. Come on. But there are times when the atmosphere is kind of depressing, that if we'll begin to lift up our voices to the Lord and praise, the atmosphere begins to change. The last thing I'd share with you is praise elevates your perspective. Get a new perspective. Psalm 121:1-4. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Praise elevates your perspective. You get a new perspective. It's amazing what worship does for us. I begin to see things differently. And what seemed to be like an insurmountable problem becomes pale in comparison to the God that I serve. It's a matter of perspective change. And worship and praise begins to change that in my life. The last thing I would share with us tonight is the perspective of God. And in Psalm 73:17, we find these words. These are awesome words. When you get time, read Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, one of David's chief music guys, his worship leader, and he has a perspective change. He goes and he's got this, he's kind of poor mouthing, you know, it's like, poor me, all the enemies around me are doing wonderful and doing great. They don't seem to have any troubles. Did I give you my heart in vain, he says. But listen to what he says afterwards. He says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. There is something that happens when I come into the house of God. There's something that transforms me, something that changes my outlook and my perspective. I get a perspective of him in the sanctuary that I don't get anywhere else. I get clarity when I come into the sanctuary that I don't get anywhere else. Psalm 63:2 says, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. There's a perspective that happens. And Asaph in that psalm saw things one way, but when he went into, he says, until I went into the sanctuary, everything. How many know you can have the worst day on planet Earth, outside there, devil do everything he can to keep you out of the house of God, but the moment that you walk in to the house of God, things begin to change in your life. Everything begins like, I got a new perspective. The things aren't as bad as I thought they were. My God will scatter my enemies. All those problems grow pale. I thought they were giants. Man, they ain't nothing. So the God, our problem is we focus on the problems. And we get the wrong perspective. We need to focus on God and keep the right perspective, because he's bigger than, I don't care what kind of problem you have tonight, God's bigger than that problem. It may seem insurmountable to you, but there's nothing impossible for the God that I serve. Nothing. Three things, and I promise I'll close. I done worked up a sweat, Pastor Shane. I asked Pam. I said, Pam, I think I'm going to need a towel tonight. She said, well, I got a kitchen rag. I said, that'll do. that'll do. Three benefits from the sanctuary. I benefit from the environment in the sanctuary. This environment that we have here tonight, you can't get by yourself. I don't care how good it is in your closet, how good it is in your car. It's nothing like coming to the house of God. There's something about the environment here. There's something about the atmosphere. Things change in the atmosphere. And that's our prayer tonight, is God would change the atmosphere of our life. Do something that we cannot do within of ourselves. But as we come into this house, there's something that happens in here. I benefit from coming into this environment. I benefit from the enthusiasm in this house. Enthusiasm is interesting. It's two Greek words, en theos, which is where we get our word enthusiasm. So really, literally, enthusiastic people, get this, are people who are filled with God. If you find somebody usually that's enthusiastic, it's because they're filled with God. And I don't know about you, but I like being around people. Steve, I like being around people who love the Lord. I want to shine so brightly that they get close to me, they're going to get a suntan. Come on. And so I love to be around enthusiastic people. And it's people are tired of dead stuff. Don't tell your coworkers about Jesus. If he's not exciting to you, they're not going to come. The problem with the world out there, we're trying to reach people and they're like, I don't want anything you got. They're nothing different about you. All you're trying to do is take up more of my time on Sunday. But the people who are enthusiastic, you don't even have to say anything to them. It's like, man, there's something about you that's different. My wife and I went on vacation. Went on a cruise, and she said, baby, I'm not taking Pastor Ted on vacation. You don't need to save anybody. You don't need to do any of that. And I said, I get it. I understand. So I'm sitting at the airport. I'm sitting in the chair. There's a lady sitting between us, and then my wife's over here. It's just the way it worked out. And she's sitting here, and the lady's sitting on the other side of Tanya. And so the lady starts conversating with me. Like, she's got, like, a sign that's like, don't talk to me. She doesn't, but that's what she said. I guess I got a sign that said, don't talk to me. So she starts talking to me about stuff. And before you know it, at the end of it, she said, would you pray for me? I never said anything about being a pastor or anything like that. She saw some, and we got conversating, so I prayed with her. She said, baby, that's it. I said, baby, I didn't do it. I said, she just engaged that conversation. So we're getting off of the, getting ready to board the ship, and we're walking through there. And the lady that we're checking in with says, are you a coach? I said, I'm a life coach. She said, oh, I could tell. And Tanya looked at me. She just shook her head. And she said her conclusion was, you just can't hide Jesus. So we need to be so enthusiastic that when the world sees us, they'd want something we have. Because if we don't, we're just offering them something to take up more of their time. Like, I don't want to give up 2 hours of my day. For what you have, no, I don't want it. But when you've got something that is tangible, different, that impacts and changes life, like, I don't know what that guy's got, but I got to have some of it. Then that's what will change our world. And we need to do that. We need that kind of enthusiasm. The next and last benefit is the benefit of encouragement. We get encouraged in the house of the Lord. All of us need encouragement. All of us need a pat on the back. When you get times, don't take for granted your ushers and your greeters and your parking lot team and the people that work behind the scenes. Let them know how much you love and appreciate them. I believe Steve's the one that kind of heads all that up and stuff, but let Steve know how much you love and appreciate him. You don't just show up here on Sunday morning and everything happen the way it happens by happenstance. It doesn't work that way. There are people that are making sacrifices to do all that. And if you're not involved in the church, if you're not plugged in, I encourage you to get plugged in. You got a gift. God's given every one of you a gift. Whatever it is, you know, so I'm an introvert. Well, we got places for you too. We're not going to put you on the greeter line, I promise you. But you need to use your gift for the glory of God. My. Why don't you stand with me? There are benefits in coming to the house of God. I get the benefit of seeing his presence, not just his presence, but his manifest presence. I get the benefit of seeing his power working and moving in this house. I get the benefit of seeing his praise in this house. And I get the benefit of a new perspective. Maybe someone's in this place today that needs to see the power of God move radically in your life. Maybe you need a new perspective change. Maybe you've been overwhelmed by whatever you're walking through. Maybe it's healing you need. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. All of us can take a refilling. Amen. There's one baptism, but many fillings. And sometimes it runs a little low. We just need to say, Lord, fill me back up again. Maybe you're in this place and you don't even know the Lord. You're just here because someone invited you, and you're like, man, I don't know. I want what that guy's got. I want this Jesus he talks about. If he can do all those things, then I want him. Maybe that's you. I don't know what. We're just going to wait on the Lord tonight. Is that all right? And just let the Lord do what he wants to do in this place. And maybe we can lay hands on you. Maybe you need healing in your body. We still believe in the miracle-working power of God. God's still in the healing business. Maybe you've got a family that's broken and needs restoration. He's in that business as well. Maybe it's just some things you just need to give to God that you need to lay down tonight. You've had a bad attitude. You're just saying, Lord, I need my attitude straightened out. I do know this. I know the Lord's been moving and working in this place. He's been touching hearts. And I don't care how hard I preach tonight. The rest is up to you. I've done my job. If God's going to move in this house, it's going to be because of you and your desire for him to move. You've got to open up your spirit and say, God, do something in me. God, use me as an instrument of revival. Use me as someone that will bring revival to the Bend and Cookeville, Tennessee. God, use me. You raise up some teenagers tonight. God can take some of our teenagers, our young people tonight and say, God, use them tonight. They're willing. They're willing. Well, whoever you want to use, Lord, use our senior adults. I don't care. I'm going after revival, folks. We're going after revival in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and I know that you're going after revival here in Cookeville, Tennessee. And if we'll go after God, it's not a matter. God's looking over the heavens tonight, over the balcony of heaven, looking down on the Bend. He said, man, that's awesome. Seeing people show up on a Wednesday night to come and experience the power of God move and work. These altars are open. I'm sure there's prayer team members that will be here to pray with you as well. We'll lay hands on you. We'll pray for you. Whatever you need tonight. Adam's going to lead us. And we're going to wait on him. Father, in these next few moments, I thank you for the sovereign move of God that's in this house. I thank you for every heart that's in this place, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And Father, you know us better than we know ourselves, but I ask, Lord, tonight that you would just speak right indelibly upon the hearts of your people, Lord, the things that we shared tonight. I pray you'll continue to prod us, move us out of our seats of complacency, off the sidelines, and get in the game. God, I pray that you'll set people free tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will move and work. Father, I believe there's healing. I believe your presence is so strong that there's healing happening right now in this house. Those that need a touch, Lord, right now, Lord, can just reach up and just claim that healing right now in the powerful name of Jesus. To be renewed, re-strengthened. Father, you can do that, I pray. In these next few moments as we wait on you, we're not going to tarry long. We're just going to wait on you. And Lord, I know that you've spoken to every heart in this place. It's going to be up to us to say yes. I'll be the first one, Lord. Yes, I want more revival, Lord. I want you to use me. I want to be an instrument for you. I want to glorify you. I want to see the manifest presence of God. I want to see your power move. And I certainly want to praise you, and I want to get a new perspective, the right perspective that changes everything in my life. God, do that. And do that in the lives of your people tonight. As Adam sings, I invite you, if God's spoken to you about anything, it may be for somebody outside of these four walls that you're praying for, this gather around the front here, and this kneel, this stand, whatever you want to do, and let God do a work in our hearts and in our lives. Mind him.
May the fire of my altar never burn. May the fire of my
altar
never burn. Make me a house of prayer.
Oh, yes, Lord, yes.
Let the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn.
Yes, Lord, come on.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
Step out from where you are.
Make me a house of prayer.
Come on.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house. Let the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never
Gets hungry and it goes on long enough, there's some emotions that come out. A lot of people call it hangry, but let me just tell you something. There's something about the presence of the Lord that I'm hungry for, and if I don't get my fixing, I get desperate. And I start searching for something. I start looking all through the cabinets of my life. I start searching through the Word. I start putting on a song. But I change my expression until I open up a door to His presence. Come on. So if you're really hungry in this place tonight, you'll change something about how you're engaging with Him until you open up a door. And let heaven come into this place. Lord, let us be desperate for a move of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I want more. I want more. I want more.
I want more.
See, I want more. Participators. We don't need spectators. Your word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He won't inhabit it unless you give him the praise. See, inhabit means to come in and make a place of residence. Come on, he won't come in and reside with us unless we lift him up, church. Participate, press in. See, I want more, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Lord, I want more of you. I want more.
I feel like I have a word for two people in the room. One is a man and one is a woman. You're not connected, but both of you are wrestling with the call of God. You're wrestling with the call to ministry. And you feel like God has called you and you're wrestling with it. And what you're wrestling with is you're saying, I don't see how in the world that could happen in my life. I just don't see how it could even happen. For the man, you're saying to yourself, I burnt too many bridges and there's too much stuff that's went on and that moment has come and gone. But I hear the Lord saying to tell you that I put this call on you when you were a boy. And you've run from it all your life. But the Spirit of God is saying tonight, if you'll surrender to the call, I'll do great and mighty things that you know not of. I don't know who these two people are, but I really feel like there's two people, a man and a woman in here tonight, that you're wrestling with the call of God. And right now, I want you to surrender to it. I want you just to say, God, that's me. That's me, and you can have me and do whatever. We named our church The Bend because there was a young man who prayed for 13 years. 13 years he prayed. He worked in a coal mine. He was a nobody. Nobody knew his name. He was in Wales, prayed 13 years. God, bend me. God, bend me. Say that out loud, everybody. God, bend me. That prayer for 13 years he prayed, and then one night he was in a church service like this, and the Spirit of God all of a sudden descended upon him. He described it like a blanket or a coat being put on him. He said the Spirit of God descended on him. He stood up in a church service and said, the Spirit of God is on me. And revival broke out in Wales and swept across the country and went around the world. It came to America. It lit up Azusa Street. It spread all over America. Folks, I want God to bend me tonight. I don't care what it takes. I want God to bend me. So those two of you, the man and the woman, I'm asking you right now just to say to God, bend me, Lord. Bend me, Lord. And let the Holy Spirit come upon me. Let the Holy Spirit come upon me. And rest upon me like I've never experienced before. If the enemy had had his way, you wouldn't even be standing in this altar tonight. But what's on your life is not about you, son. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is resting upon you tonight. Now, I'm just telling you, folks, it doesn't matter if anybody else gets it. If these two people surrender to what God wants to do tonight, God's getting ready to shake some things up. Hallelujah. I want all the young people tonight, lift your hands. Everybody in here under the age of 18, lift your hands right now. If there's a young person with their hands lifted right now, I need everybody around them, put your hands on them in the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every young person, get your hands up right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want everybody in this church begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, so you have a prayer language, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, set these young people on fire. Set these young people on fire. Lord, even yesterday they began school here, and these kids have walked back into an adverse environment. And even now, the nation is grappling with what to do. Lord, wouldn't it be just so wonderful? Wouldn't it be just so like heaven tonight if you set these young people on fire and revival swept through the school systems and teenagers started running around with the healing power of God in their hand to cure sickness and disease? One more time, let's sing it. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Come on, lift your voices one more time.
We put our hands together and give God a praise for speaking in this house to us.
Pastor Ted, thank you so much for giving us the word of the Lord tonight. I want everybody to listen to me. The Lord spoke very clearly to me about Sunday morning. Very rarely do I know what I'm going to do before I get to church on Sunday. But I've known since Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, what God wanted me to do this Sunday morning. And it's going to be different. So just get ready for it. It won't be, and when I say different, I'm completely mixing up everything. Because we're getting used to a couple songs and sitting down preaching, so I'm going to completely bust all that box. And I want you to get ready, because the Lord has given me a very specific instruction on something that He wants me to do Sunday morning. And I don't know why, other than I believe that God is going to do something when we do what He said do, right? And so I want you to come prepared Sunday. I love the spirit about you. She got such a sweet spirit on her. The glory of God. What you want to do, babe? What do you feel called to do? What do you feel called to do? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah. Come up here and stand beside her. Forget what you've seen in days gone by. Quit trying to measure what you think God wants to do based on what you've seen God do. God's going to change your paradigm. You have a heavy call on you. A heavy call on you. When are you guys going home? This Saturday morning. They're from California, so. Or. Yeah. Well, I'm supposed to spend time with you before you leave. I'm supposed to spend time with you. So I need you to make sure between now and Saturday morning that I have time with him. And when we're alone, I'm going to minister some things I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you. Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I felt like I just saw this holy glow about the both of you. And I have a feeling I'm not the only person that's ever said that, that there's this anointing on you. And I believe God's going to use you to do some things. And I think you're going to be shocked at what God's going to use you to do. One of the gifts of my life is noticing ministry on young people's lives. How old are you? 23. 21. God's going to do something with you. I believe it with all my heart. See, huh? Mighty, mighty. Put your hands on them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this couple. I sense a heavy weight of your glory on them. And Lord, I believe big things are about to come for them. Big, big things are about to happen. And the Lord said to whisper to my daughter, "You have asked me for a word. I heard you. You said, I need a sign. God said, I'm going to give it to you. Rest. Rest. Now, Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout in this room. She's going to share a word with you that the Lord gave her. Listen, I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus loves you. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and you're not beneath. You all believe that? And I'm also going to tell you something tonight. God's going to bless you because he knows a lot of you sacrificed tonight. Tonight was a hard night to get to church. School starting, fair going, everything happening. But everybody that's in the building tonight, I've asked God to open heaven over you. I believe God's going to bless you for being here. Amen? Well, listen, stick around. Love on each other. God bless you guys. I'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30 in the morning. I believe we're going to have a full house. Get out here. I'll see you Sunday.